Welcome back to the Bun Sports Show. It is now Wednesday, and we are joined, as always, by Robert McElroy, who attended the Auburn-Mississippi State game last Saturday. We'll get some thoughts and perspective on last weekend from him, as well as look ahead to four, I think, really key matchups of this upcoming weekend. But first of all, Robert, good day. How are you?
I'm fine, man. I'm doing well, as always. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, I had a wild weekend down at Auburn for the Mississippi State game. It was good to see both teams up close to SEC Western Division opponents there. It was a great day down there. I mean, it was hot as all get out. Like, I'm still sunburnt, really. I'm burnt to a crisp, like, still. And, like, the sun was on, like, one side of me, so I'm more sunburnt on the left side of my body than the right. I look like Two-Face from that third Batman with Tommy Lee Jones was Two-Face. So, like, I had a great time, though. It was excellent. Had a great tailgate. And both teams looked great in some areas and not so much in some other areas.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and that's good to hear you had a good time. Yeah, no, you're right. I thought Auburn, definitely the offense of Auburn continues to amaze me. On the flip side, the defense, not so sure about that. And then Mississippi State, at some points, you know, you say this could be a very good football team, and then at others you just wonder what in the world were they thinking. So, talk about it. Talk about the game and what stood out to you the most for each of those teams.
Well, let me begin with Auburn on the defensive side of the ball. Let's assume in 2011 that the defense continues to play the way it has been, which is pretty lackluster and nothing very impressive.
Hey, Robert?
Yeah. An ambulance just whizzed by me.
Oh, okay. I thought they were coming to take you away. I'm sorry.
I mean, there have been some things go down in my life where I probably deserved it.
Okay. Continue.
I'll start over a bit. Let's assume 2011 Auburn's defense continues the way it's playing, which is really unimpressive, pretty lackluster. Then in 3 years in the Chizik regime, we will have seen really only half of a year of good defense, and that was the latter half of last year's 2010 BCS National Championship run. You're talking about 2.5 years of pretty pitiful defense. That's provided if 2011's D continues the way it's playing.
Sure.
That's going to get frustrating for some Auburn fans, I think. Offensively, Auburn people have nothing to be ashamed of, really. It's a young football team. I think people realize that and are realistic about it. You're going to have a lot of young kids going on the road for the first time. We'll get to that in a second. Now, Mississippi State, when they needed an inch, they just could not get that inch. They had a good ball play. They had a good plan for Auburn. I thought they did as well as they could have offensively, and defensively, I thought they did some good things as well. As usual, a really tight Mississippi State-Auburn ball game. That's the way it's been lately. The last handful of matchups between those two have been really great television. I mean, it's been good stuff.
It all started with that 3-2 baseball game that they called a football game a couple of years ago.
That thing was ugly, and they replayed it. They replayed it one day on ESPN, ESPNU. I guess they wanted to show some old games. I'm like, well, why even show this disaster?
It was a disgrace.
I mean, my God, that was the worst. But you're right. I mean, it all started with that crazy, crazy football game that was that 3-2 thing there in 08.
Okay, well, did you get a chance to see any of the other matchups of the weekend? Some big ones, of course, Georgia, South Carolina. I think the one we had our most eye on, and then of course Michigan, Notre Dame at night. Did you get a chance to see any of those others?
I got a chance to see bits and pieces of Georgia, South Carolina at the tailgate after the game, and also got a chance to see only a little bit and not enough to gather really some hardcore analysis for Michigan, Notre Dame. I love the throwback unis. Those are really cool. And I like Denard Robinson. I mean, those are two things I can take for that game. A historic day as far as Michigan's first night game. I thought that was interesting. In 84 years, they'd only been playing during the day there. Georgia, South Carolina, you have to wonder. I mean, Georgia must be just mentally taxed right now. 0-2, Rick's job is on the line, that kind of thing. For that very reason, I was pulling for Georgia.
Oh.
But Carolina capitalized on the mistakes and the opportunities given them, so you got to give them credit, too.
They did. And I think Carolina has a great team. I think they have a more talented team than anybody else in the East, but I just didn't think that they would be able to beat Georgia in Athens. How wrong was I? And, you know, you look at the South Carolina team now that they've accomplished that win. They, of course, beat East Carolina in a shaky game to begin the year. But they now have a manageable, and I say manageable, they still have some very interesting contests. Of course, they play Auburn, Mississippi State and Starkville. They play Tennessee and Arkansas and Fayetteville, and then, of course, Florida and Columbia. So they have a lot of work still to accomplish. But you wonder now if they, since they get that win in Athens, if they are not poised, at least, to make a run once again in Atlanta.
I think probably so. A lot of people look at that, and this game is always played very early between Georgia and South Carolina, and the winner has usually come out, you know, kind of ahead in the race, and that the winner of that game usually does look pretty poised. So I think that's a good way to put it. I think you also can't sleep on Tennessee, and you can't really sleep on a Florida team, which we're still learning about. We're really still learning about these football teams. Only two weeks in. Some people talk about a given football program within 2 weeks of play as if they're just bought and sold on what they have. It's like we're still learning about these teams.
I agree.
But I'm not ready to sell on Tennessee because I really like Tyler Bray, and defensively, Florida pitched a shutout against, I mean, of course, UAB, but you have to think that Muschamp's making a difference down there.
I think so. Yeah, and one thing I'll say on that, you were talking about Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia, South Carolina. Isn't it amazing how the East seems to be at least, if you view it as a playoff between those four teams, how they decide that in the first two conference weeks, the first 3 weeks of the year, you have Georgia, South Carolina on the second week every year, and then you have Tennessee, Florida on the third week, so it's really a playoff on the first three weeks. It's amazing.
No, it is. It is pretty remarkable that in weeks two and three, it's like the winner of these really big games kind of puts themselves ahead. But there, even still, a lot of football left to be played. So this upcoming weekend is going to be a lot of fun. It really is.
Looking forward to it. And let's get to that now, Robert, as we look forward to week number three in college football. And I want to start with a game that, of course, is before every other game because it's during the middle of the week here. Tomorrow night in Starkville, you saw this Mississippi State team up close and personal Saturday in Jordan-Hare Stadium. What do you expect? Do you expect the same team that played against Auburn or a different team against LSU Thursday night?
I expect a very tired, somewhat beat up, and just mentally drained Mississippi State football team, to be honest with you. After that, they've had a short week to prepare. They have to be thinking. I mean, I don't know how much this looms over Dan Mullen's head right now. I guess it will for a little while until it changes, but his record against the SEC West is absolutely horrendous. I wonder if that plays into the psyche of this football team. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Conversely, LSU, from a mental standpoint, they have all the confidence in the world. That they opened up with a big win over Oregon, in which they completely outplayed them, in my opinion. They're 2-0, and for a week there, they had jumped Alabama to be the number two team, so they're obviously looked at as a highly regarded team to all the prognosticators out there. I mean, people look at LSU as being the top two or three of the entire country, so they've got to be a confident football team. Whereas Mississippi State is just tired, I'm taking LSU in that game. I like them to win in Starkville.
Yeah, it's hard to go against them. I just wonder, though,
it is,
if Mississippi State hasn't been looking to this game for a long time, and considering it is at home and on Thursday night, it's kind of an interesting matchup. And LSU, too. You look at that schedule, you have Morgantown, West Virginia, as the next stop right after they get through in Starkville the next week. And it just keeps on going from there, Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama. So for LSU, it really never stops. You look at that schedule, and you just kind of wonder if they wouldn't overlook Mississippi State. However, I agree with you. I don't think they will. I think they will get the win. As tough as it may appear, I think they'll get the win because I think they have better athletes on both sides of the football.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that their schedule was a big question mark at the beginning of the year, but they seem to be getting through it quite nicely, and they had better take it one week at a time. They overlook a Mississippi State or they overlook a West Virginia, they'll come up beat. But I really think Mississippi State's going to give them all they want, but at the end of the day, LSU will probably run away with this thing.
And one more note before we move on LSU, the month of September is an odd one for them. Of course, you have four Saturdays, and they're playing only one game, and it was this past Saturday against Northwestern State in Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. That is brutal.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like I said, LSU's schedule was going to be one of those big things that, I mean, if anything keeps them from being a national contender, that schedule was going to be one of them. So yeah, no, those are all things of note.
Okay, let's move on now to the game Saturday morning in South Carolina between Auburn and Clemson. Of course, you saw this Auburn team up close last week, and you followed them. And this Clemson team is hard to figure out. I mean, every year it seems like Clemson is way overhyped. It seems like everybody comes in with all these expectations, and they never live up to them. And then last weekend against Wofford, Clemson struggled. So it's just really hard to make heads or tails out of them. What do you expect from this matchup in Clemson?
Well, as far as what I expect from this matchup, I expect it to be tight as usual. Clemson and Auburn have a unique little out-of-conference rivalry where they don't play one another all the time, but when they do, it ends up being a thriller. The last two meetings, of course, as we know, have gone overtime. And so I expect it to be just like the rest of them, crazy and fun to watch. A great matchup there. Auburn's taken a lot of very young players to Clemson, and it's going to be good for them to see an environment like this. It's not the easiest place in the world to play football.
Yeah.
In there in Clemson's version of Death Valley. I guess LSU has their version of Death Valley too. But in the Clemson version of Death Valley, I think it'll be good for these young players on Auburn's team to see an environment like this. It's going to be a tough place to play. I like Auburn in the game. Going back to Clemson, let's concentrate on them for just a second.
Okay.
They did struggle. They struggled against Wofford. But hey, Wofford, and I want to kind of play devil's advocate. Wofford is they're a pretty good football team. Not a pushover by any means in the Southern Conference, which is a football championship subdivision.
Right.
They're a principal power in that conference, and it, from time to time they give people a scare. At the same time, though, you know, we saw Auburn struggle with Utah State. So we've seen both of these opponents who will be facing one another struggle against teams that you wouldn't expect them to. So I expect a lot of wide-eyed freshmen on the part of Auburn, but I think Auburn's fourth quarter heroics get it done.
Okay.
Other than their Clemson struggles against Wofford, I'm still learning about this football team. Like, we're only 2 weeks in, and I've barely been able to see Clemson play at all.
Well,
so we're still learning about them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, you can't tell anything about Clemson. You do know a little bit about Auburn because of the game they played last weekend against Mississippi State.
Right.
And there's definitely a lot to, I mean, if you're an Auburn fan, and I know you are, look, you have played two games. They have both come down to the wire. And I don't care what anybody says about how ugly they might have been. The bottom line is, you are 2-0 coming out of your first two games of the year, and that's really all that matters. In 5 weeks, nobody will remember how close those games were. They would only remember whether or not you won or lost, and in this case, Auburn has won twice. So now the focus is obviously on Clemson, and I agree with you, by the way, on the pick. I think it is going to be Auburn. I think in the neighborhood of a 35-24. I don't think either defense is going to have a particularly good day, because I don't think either team has a very good defense, but I think Auburn's offense has the ability to move the ball more than Clemson. And, you know, I don't know. It just seems like in the shootout, I like Auburn. I like Gus Malzahn. I could be wrong, but I like them to take the victory there in Clemson. But I will say this. Barrett Trotter has not faced an environment yet that is hostile. So that could be an interesting variable to watch in that game.
No, it will be. He hasn't seen anything like that. I mean, Barrett Trotter was able to see some action in the SEC Championship last year. But that was, I mean,
who didn't for Auburn?
That's true. That's a neutral crowd in that, so you're right about that. And not only him, but his offensive line, who they have been playing in front of quiet crowds. I mean, offensively, the home crowd shuts up so their offense can run, and that's the way it's been in Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's not going to be that way at Clemson.
Moving on now to what I think is the game of the week in the SEC for sure, and that, of course, is played in Gainesville, Florida, as we've talked about already. This is a semi-playoff game for the SEC East, and Florida, I think, looks a lot stronger than everybody thought. Now, I know they've just played Florida Atlantic and UAB, but they did look good in those. They didn't struggle like they did last year against Miami of Ohio. They really came out and with authority got those two wins, so now they play Tennessee. On Tennessee's side, they, of course, have beaten Montana and a BCS conference team in Cincinnati. Now, I don't think Cincinnati's very good, but Tennessee did wax them in Neyland Stadium. So that adds a lot of interest to this game. Do you think, Robert, before we get to the pick of this game, do you think that these teams may be a little bit better than everybody gave them credit for before the season?
It could very well be. I like Tyler Bray coming into 2011, and I've seen some highlights on him, and he looks good. He looks poised back there. But he's going to have to go to a hostile environment there at the Swamp in Gainesville, Florida. And Florida, we're still learning about them. They did pitch their first shutout against, albeit UAB, but it was the first shutout that Florida's defense has pitched in some time. So both squads, I mean, whoever comes out on top definitely puts themselves in a good position. And I think there could be some formidable foes there in the East. It's not just South Carolina's ball game anymore. There's more to it than that. I think you can probably stick a fork in Georgia. They don't impress me a bit. But Tennessee and Florida, it's such a huge, huge game for them. I mean, for Tennessee's confidence going forward and for Florida.
Who do you like?
It's big. Well, I like Florida in this game because Tennessee just doesn't beat Florida. There are rivalries in this conference where it seems like one school always struggles against the other. I can point to you so many different ones. This one, for instance, even Tennessee's best teams in the history of Tennessee football have struggled against the Florida Gators. I think Florida, conversely, plays some of their best football against Tennessee. Looking around the conference, there are all sorts of rivalries like this. Tennessee-Alabama, it's not that Alabama plays bad against Tennessee. It's just I think Alabama plays with a lot of emotion against Tennessee. And I think Tennessee's always up for Alabama. So Alabama seems to always struggle a bit against Tennessee, regardless of who comes out on top there. Auburn and Arkansas, Auburn seems to always screw the pooch against Arkansas, no matter how good Auburn is. And this rivalry is no different to me. It's always Florida in this. I think they've won six straight. And in the Spurrier years, they were drumming Philip Fulmer, even some of his better football teams. On history alone, and on defense, 2011's defense of the Florida Gators, I give it to Florida.
I think you're right, and I agree with you. I'm going to take Florida cautiously, of course, because I think Tennessee could certainly win this game. I will say this. This is one thing that's different about this Tennessee team than in the past. For the last couple of years, since Philip Fulmer departed and the Tennessee program has all but fallen apart, you've seen Tennessee protect the ball, play very conservative offense. I don't think they're going to have to do that this year. I think they have Tyler Bray and some playmakers who can make some plays and have some offensive productivity that is actually worth something. So I like Florida, but cautiously. Okay, finally, as we move into into this program, Oklahoma at Florida State in Tallahassee. Who do you like?
I'm taking Florida State in this game. They're playing at home. Ooh. Tallahassee is a I'm
That's
taking
a change.
Florida State. I'm taking. It is a change, and I regret the first week you and I were on. Of course, week number two, you were on vacation, so we both
right.
got to kind of relax.
Exactly.
But week one, I was way too safe, Jacob. I did not pick some upsets that I was tempted to pick and didn't, and it cost me.
I hear you.
So I'm taking Florida State, and I feel fine taking FSU. Regardless of what I said on your show in the offseason about how I think they're another year away,
sure.
I like them in this game. Florida State's 2-0. Oklahoma didn't play in week two. They're 1-0 at this point. And I don't know. As far as bye weeks are concerned, it helps some teams and it doesn't so
yes,
much some teams.
So true.
Sometimes when teams just are kind of sitting around and it's just a shorts, t-shirts, and helmets practice, and we're eating watermelon and ice cream after practice, you know, with 2 weeks to go, teams tend to get a little lazy, I've noticed. I don't give a whole lot of credence ends up having a ton of just all the time in the world to prepare for a team.
Yeah.
I think Florida State coming off 2-0, that they had full pads on here recently, kicking the given team they were playing on Saturday, and Oklahoma's been hanging out. I think Florida State at home has a huge advantage just playing there in Tallahassee. I want Florida State in this one.
You know, I'm going to go with Oklahoma, and I'm just going to go with a safe pick here. But I do think Oklahoma is going to win this game, I think, in the end. Although I do think they could be caused some serious problems. I like E.J. Manuel, and I think Florida State can certainly give them some issues. But I am going to go with the top-ranked Sooners. Okay, well, it's been another fabulous program with Robert McElroy on this Wednesday as we move forward into Week 3. Tomorrow night, don't forget LSU and Mississippi State. And, Robert, thanks for joining us, as always.
It's been great. To all your listeners, be sure, if you'd like to follow me, you can certainly do so on Twitter at @being_large. I tweet about football and professional wrestling, if you're into that, and life, and just whatever's going on. Jacob, it's just always a great time, and we're going to do it again next week.
Look forward to it. Robert McElroy, as always, on Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow.